Welcome back to the 750. I am your RJ Ochoa. He is your 75, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion, the one and only. He's freezing his tail off these days, Tony Casillas. Tony, happy Monday to you.
Man, happy cold Monday. Man, it is cold here. I know you're in San Antonio, and I'm in Dallas. And it's one of those days you wake up, and the wind and the cold just goes right to the bones. It's that kind of cold here. It's bipolar weather that we have. I mean, I don't know what to think about it. But, you know, I do know this. I'd rather have it like this because we know spring's nice, but then what happens next? It goes right to the furnace,
yeah,
the summer. So I'm okay. I'm thinking about that. But, man, I tell you what, doesn't make the body work as well.
I will say that. I mean, there will definitely be a day in August or July even where I miss this. I've talked about this a lot. You know, we moved, the last couple months, and it's just felt like anything important we've had to do, like, you know, my parents brought us a new table or something, or we had to, you know, move something in and out or anything like that. It was the coldest day or it rained, you know what I mean? Like, and it's so like, it's been either cold and, and so they laid down all the grass outside, the sod. And so the sod wasn't set, you know what I mean? And then everything was muddy. So it's just, I feel like the point's been exaggerated. So in one way, I'm a little, I'm enjoying it, but I'm kind of looking forward to some heat. Like this is a year where I'm kind of looking forward to the summer.
You know what? The joints is, the weather affects it more than anything, but, when I used to move and, you know, there's been days when it was 100, moving during the heat, the dead of the summer is not the right thing to do. Because, I mean, it's, you know, if you sweat profusely like me and, I don't know. I'm taking it in. I'm not going to be one of these dudes. Hey, oh gosh, I wish it was summer. I'm like, no. We all know that. But I just wish it wasn't quite in the teens. I mean, we're talking wind chill factor of like 8. Wish it wasn't quite that cold. But hey, I'm not complaining. We're doing the 750 on a Monday, coming off a great weekend. And as always, it's always great to be with my man, RJ Ochoa.
That is the truth. It was a great weekend. I had some chores. The Commanders got a win. Did you do anything notable yourself over the weekend?
No, really. I unfortunately met up with some friends, some fishing buddies of mine on Friday.
I saw that. I saw the
post. Yeah. So we did this fishing trip back in October last year. We went down the striper fishing, and it was a tremendous time. And it's funny, we had this guy. This guy, it's like one of those dudes, leathered skin, a guy. It's probably in his 70s. Has been guiding for all his life, and so he had all these different names. So for some reason, he had this saying, it's like live action. That was his monotone. That was his line of the day. Ah, we got some live action. So then we decided there was four of us, so we'd have two teams, right? So he goes, oh, okay, well, we got Team Wahoo, and looked at me and goes, we got Team Taco Bell. How'd you get the Taco Bell? Considered I wasn't the only brown-skinned brother on the boat, right? So anyways, we start joking about that. So one thing led to another, and, yeah, we had a good time. Great celebration. But that's about it. I stumbled on another Netflix series this weekend. It's called Murder Mountain, which is pretty it's pretty interesting. And watched a little golf, watched some basketball. I actually watched some college basketball. I watched the Kansas-Oklahoma State game was going on.
Yeah.
That was a good game. Because I had Big 12, and as you know, I do SiriusXM and on the Big 12 network. But I like to watch it. But anyway, there's some good games going on. It's a good weekend. Saw a first-time guy on a tour. Forgot his name. Made a 10-foot putt. And the PGA, the Honda Classic. Yeah. So it was kind of one of those plethora time.
So a few things before we dive into some serious Cowboy stuff. A, the Big 12 show is great with my boy Ari Temkin.
Appreciate that, man.
You tell Ari that he's a loser. I want you to ask Ari, if you haven't yet, about the day we interviewed Orlando Scandrick. Because
I think you told me this story. I think you need to tell our listeners a little bit, pull the curtain back and tell us real quick the Reader's Digest version of that.
So it was training camp 2017, and Ari and I were going to interview him. It was early in the morning after their morning walkthrough, and and we were asking him a couple questions, and he was in a foul mood to begin with. Anybody that remembers Skandrick, kind of, I think that's easy to believe. And Ari asked him, he said, you know, what's your role? And Orlando was kind of put off by that. He's like, well, what do you mean? You know, what's my role? And so we were recording this to air later, but we were also on Facebook Live. So it was, you know, there was something on the line. And Ari goes, well, you're a nickel corner. And I mean, it was like Ari called his mother ugly. I mean, he was deeply offended. He goes, see, this is why I hate doing media. He was like, because you guys don't do your research. You know, he was like, I started, you know, 12 out of whatever games in 2014.
A little ultra sensitive.
Yeah. And Ari was like, no. And I mean, like, you know, it just went downhill. He was deeply insulted by this.
I'll have to remind him about that. Next time I do the show, I'll have to start that off with an Orlando Skandrick story. Say, hey, by the way, Ari, do you have any stories?
I guarantee you he does. So last thing, you mentioned the PGA Tour and the Honda Classic. Did you see the USGA clap back at Justin Thomas this past weekend?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I know if you listen to 750, by the way, if you're listening to 750, we encourage you, we ask you kindly to go rate and review the show on iTunes. Those things really help us out a lot if you get the time to go ahead and do that. But so Justin Thomas, Tony, has been one of the players chastising the new USGA rules that have been enforced. Ricky Fowler has made some fun of them as well. And so somebody tweeted, a fan tweeted something at Justin Thomas, you know, about, you know, hey, it's not that hard, whatever. And JT quoted that tweet and said, hey, you know, it's just, I want the rules to be fair. I want them to be enforced to all golfers, and kind of called out the USGA. And the USGA PR account responded to him and said, hey, Justin, we've tried to set up a meeting with you 5 times. We've tried to discuss this with you, and you've never called us back. You know, we want to figure out a solution too, and blah, blah. And it kind of, like, again, the fact that they were like, we've tried to talk to you all these times, and you've never answered, blah, blah. It made JT look pretty small. And, I mean, you follow the tour. JT's a pretty sensitive cat.
Yeah, you know what? Some of these guys are, and you know, I you know, for my little game, and I play. I do like the, you know, the golf and some of the things that change, especially being able to leave the flag in. And I think, you know, that's probably, you know, pointed more at people that are slow play, because as you know, golf can be really methodical. You know, depends on where you're playing and everything. But I thought that was great for them to reel the response. Say, look, dude, hey, we called you. Yeah. We called you 5 or 6 times. You didn't answer your phone. And oh, by the way, we texted you. So now we're going to try to go with the main artery, and we're going to go on social media. Hey, good for them. Guys complain. I mean, how many people do you know that complain? It's you know, I started to, I mean, I'm getting a little off track on this. I remember I started this youth football league about 10 years ago in my community, and all the people that complain were never volunteers. So it's always those people, and maybe it's a different comparison, but you know what? If you want to be part of the rule committee and you're the person that complains the most, and you're not going to any of the meetings or being part of it, then you need to shut up, right?
I don't disagree with you. I think the USGA certainly had a point in what they said. All I think, and I don't think you could be prisoners, you know, to any of the tour players. I mean, you know, Justin Thomas isn't bigger than the game of golf. That's not my point, but I mean, he's a very influential person, and he's really, you know, you mess with one of those SB2K guys, you mess with all of them, you know what I mean? So I think it's bold at the very least to...
He's a polo guy. He's that Ralph Lauren guy. He kind of seems like the little, I don't know, snobby, snooty nose, fraternity, you know,
he went to
Greek dude.
Yeah, he went to Alabama, so he's a Crimson Tide supporter.
Well, man, he doesn't have room to talk. He went to Alabama. Come on.
So, okay, I thought that was interesting. You know,
all start trolling him now. It's like, yeah, no, we like the USGA rules. What are you complaining about?
You know, it's that's just the way it is. You know, it's almost time, by the way, Tony, for the Masters. Well, you know, we sprinkle in the golf. We'll definitely have to dive a little bit deeper on the 750.
That's where we're going to get that week.
For sure. So, okay, Cowboys time. So a few headlines before we discuss the combine at greater length. We're talking on Monday, and there's a lot to sort of glean from this. DeMarcus Lawrence reportedly, Tony, he and the Cowboys are not close on a new contract. I'm not shocked by this. I feel like this is just the game. I mean, you've been there, you tell me. But I feel like this is just a matter of, hey, this guy wants a lot of money. You know? I mean, he's going to ask for more than anybody, and so it takes time.
Yeah, it's like any, you play the game, negotiations, it starts somewhere, and, you know, I'm sure that was a huge number, and, you know, what are you going to start? You're not going to start low. You got to start high, and then, you know, it's as you just mentioned, it's just part of the whole negotiating game and trying to get some, you know, some footing on which both sides are. You look at his impact with 122 tackles and 25 sacks over the last 2 years. So I think if you look at his numbers and, you know, his disruption and what he means to this team, and, you know, we said it 2 weeks ago, we're kind of laughing about it, but now it's come to some fruition. They don't have any other really, really big-time pass rushers on that team. And I don't know what that means to the Cowboys, because they have a lot of other contracts and need to, you know, Dak and, you know, Zeke and, you know, some other guys coming down the pipe. So I think it's going to get done. But, you know, I'm just like Jerry. He said, you know, Tuesday, I think the official before the free agency, what is it, March 6th, and then you and it officially opens up where a contract done before the, I guess, so-called franchise tag and everything comes in place if you want to franchise someone. But, I mean, they can get it done when they want to. I mean, they could be millions of dollars away yesterday. But today, you know, if they want to, they agree on something, bam, they can get the deal done.
So when it comes to dates, by March 5th, which is you and I are talking on Monday the 4th, so by Tuesday, I believe
tomorrow, yeah,
I believe at 3 p.m. Central Time. I could be wrong on that. Maybe 3 Eastern. NFL teams, if they want to franchise tag a player, or transition mm-hmm. tag him, they have to do it by then.
I'm sorry about the time, dates, and everything. But there's so many of these different dates. Like supposedly, you can't talk to someone that's that's going to be a free agent. But there's teams, and which I don't understand, that are in the combine. They've already talked about. Nick Foles and all these other teams. So officially, unofficially, you can't, or unofficially, officially, you can't, but the guy's already got,
sure,
already had communication.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, you're not supposed to get caught talking to anybody before the discussion window's open next week, but you're right. I mean, welcome to the world we live in. but so the Cowboys would have to tag Lawrence if they intend to keep him by this deadline, just in order to buy time. Because if they don't tag him, then when free agency does open next week, he would be eligible to discuss terms with the new team, and we certainly don't want that. So I think that that's where this is heading, obviously. DeMarcus Lawrence has been very clear that he doesn't want to play for a second year on the franchise tag. I think the guy deserves a lot of props for playing on the tag last year. He said, you know what? Okay, you don't want to give me a long-term deal that I like. I'm going to do it. And you know what? He did. And he put them in a difficult situation because he backed it up. You mentioned his statistics over the last 2 years. He has more sacks than Khalil Mack over the last 2 years. I've tweeted this before and gotten some responses to it. Do I think that he's a better player than Khalil Mack? Absolutely not. But it's a fact. It's an objective data point that he has more sacks than him over the last 2 years. And if I was his agent, I would be singing that song all day long.
Yeah. Well, I understand the him not having a problem with his franchise tag last year because, look, he still had to prove himself. You know, 1 year, had a great, great year. So, I mean, if you're a smart businessman, you're not going to automatically just go out and like, okay, I'm going to give you the farm or everything that that you asked for, okay? Second year, he backs it up. So now he validates, look, hey, I'm doing things right. I stayed healthy. Although he did have that problem with his shoulder and he had off-season surgery, but, you know, that's all. I don't know if it was a torn labrum or something with his shoulder. So I don't think that's going to affect him that much. So the bottom line is he just wants to do the right thing. And so the interesting thing to me is, will the Cowboys, if they don't get anything done by 3 p.m. tomorrow, will they franchise him?
I mean, I don't see how they can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think you want to risk that. And I don't know. I just don't – because someone – you know, DeMarcus Lawrence on the free agent market is going to get paid a lot of money. I mean, look at what we've seen, this monopoly money be thrown around with guys that are, that, especially a good pass rusher. So, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think the Cowboys will risk him going out in the open market and really, really, really getting paid. I don't think that he's not like maybe your boy Earl Thomas going to give him the home team discount.
Also, that was another thing that popped up after we had our last 750 was there was a report that Earl Thomas will not give them a hometown discount. And people were like, well, oh my God. And it's like,
dude. I'm so surprised about that. And I think we talked about this on the last part of the show, is that, oh yeah, okay, well, I'm going to be like the 10th highest paid safety in the National Football League. Yeah, I understand that. But the reality and the fact that, you know, the reality of what you're going to get, you don't know yet. You don't know the market. But yeah, that's just kind of the whole verbiage that goes along with that.
It's, I mean, you have to understand the reality of the point that we're at. Every single person who's set to be a free agent wants the most
money.
Be
the highest paid.
Yeah, I mean, so right now that's going to be the talking point. Right now that's going to be what everybody says. I mean, because nobody's going to take money out of their pockets because it would be foolish. Now, Tony, I don't know if this was the case when it came to Cole Beasley. We learned very early on Sunday morning from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that Cole Beasley reportedly wants $20 million, not over the life of his contract, but guaranteed. So a few things on this. One, it was Clarence Hill who had this tweet and wrote about this for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And later in the day, people were kind of tweeting at Cole, dude, you're not worth $20 million, whatever, blah, blah. And Cole responded to somebody, quoted a tweet and said, "That I want that," or he said guaranteed, not the, you know, not per year, because somebody, interpreted it as he wanted $20 million per year. And Cole just kind of clarified, said, no, guaranteed, not per year. And Clarence Hill quoted that tweet and said, there you go, Cole's, validating, he's confirming that it was $20 million guaranteed. And Cole clapped back and said, no, I'm not confirming. I'm just responding to the question. I'm not confirming anything. So for all we know, maybe this, you know, Cole feels a different way, but the report is a report. Either way, the other thing on this is a comparable situation. 2 years ago, DeSean Jackson, when he was a free agent after leaving the Washington Redskins, signed a 3-year, $35 million deal with $20 million guaranteed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was about 40 days older than Cole is now. He was at the time. And his resume was far more accomplished, if we're being honest, than Cole's is at this point. So all that being said, the question is, would you give Cole Beasley $20 million guaranteed?
Well, if he gets $20 million guaranteed, it'll be Cole millions, because that'll be a lot of money. But it's not too far-fetched in the open market, again, if he's able to go out as a slot receiver. But I'm kind of on the same line with you. You know, DeSean Jackson, to me, was more explosive. I think he was more explosive, and they used him on the punt returns and, part of the kicking game.
And he wasn't just a slot receiver. He plays on the outside.
Absolutely. And he's just not – to me, Cole Beasley is a specialist. He's a slot receiver. I mean, so the only thing that you can use him at is that position. So, you know, we can go back and forth, and, you know, we could look at all the highest paid slot receivers in the National Football League. You know, I always thought the best slot receiver – and even Julian Edelman, I mean, he's a guy that's why, you know, he's in the slot. And, you know, that's the thing about it. I think it gets a little misconstrued, because everyone looks at the size of the player. Mm-hmm. They look at Julian Edelman and they're like, oh gosh, he looks like, you know, he's Cole Beasley size. But no, Julian Edelman, I mean, the numbers he's put up in his short career are kind of, pro football Hall of Fame worthy. Well, when you look at what he's done to that team. So, to answer your question, I don't think he's worth $20 million guaranteed. If you look at a 3-year, 4-year deal and you give him money up front, 3 years, that'd be average $10 million a year. And, you know, you look at the back end of the contract. I mean, I think he would probably get close to that in the open market. But I don't know if the Cowboys – I mean, he's coming off a contract that he signed, and he didn't get that much money. So what's it going to – I mean, what did he validate that? I mean, he's an older guy, and I just don't think a role that he's going to play in the Cowboys' offense is worthy of paying him that much money.
Well, I think you're certainly more optimistic than I am that he would get $20 million guaranteed from anybody. I mean, again, I think he'd be fortunate to get a $20 million.
But there's always
contract.
Someone out there, RJ, that gets this. You know, they need they see a guy that they like, and you know, they'll overspend. I mean, how many times have we seen this in the National Football League that people just go out there, and when all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, sometimes I think they're in fear and they get paranoid because some other team is going to get the, you know, and I think that's what happens with some of these guys, these GMs and these teams. You know, they talk them, it's all in their head because all of a sudden they create all this inflated value that's not there.
That's fair. I mean, you know, maybe somebody, you know, somebody's desperate, somebody's silly, somebody is willing to do it. So I
said close to it. I don't know about $20 million, but if you're going to amortize it out for 3 years and look at it, you know, $10 million a year, I just don't know if you pay that much for Cole Beasley.
I mean, you know, people love to mention Tom Brady's contract when they talk about quarterbacks. Well, why are you going to pay Dak this if Tom Brady makes, you know, whatever? You know, Julian Edelman is kind of Cole Beasley's enemy here. I mean, to your point, Julian Edelman 2 years ago signed a 2-year, $11 million contract. The whole contract was worth $11 million. And he had a $5 million signing bonus, and the team fully guaranteed his 2018 base salary, which was only $2 million. So, I mean, you know, to your point, I mean, you sit there, you talk about it, you say, well, look at Julian Edelman. You know what I mean? It's a tough road.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Julian Edelman, is he worth that to another team in a National Football League?
No, I mean, it just
depends your role with the team. And, like, you know, Julian Edelman has created this chemistry there. So the value, he's going to be more valuable probably to New England just because of the familiarity with the system and everything else that goes along with that. But the value in which – you look at Cole Beasley to this, you know, the Cowboys, he's not that dude.
I agree with that. I mean, it's different. There's no question about that. However, I mean, back to, you know, whether he will get that from the Cowboys, I mean, it's a matter of would you rather give, Cole Beasley $20 million? And that's just a guaranteed money. So, I mean, I don't know what he thinks the life of this contract. I mean, we're talking like a 4-year, 5-year deal.
To get it to that much money guaranteed.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't mean this, you know, anyway, but I don't want anything to do with Cole Beasley 4 years from now. So it's either, you know, give Cole Beasley that type of contract or draft a slot receiver rookie. And I know what I would rather do, especially as you mentioned, if you're going to be paying other players. The fact of the matter is, you know, you can find someone, even if the rookie slot receiver you draft, even if he is 70% of the player that Cole Beasley is just in the year 2019, I'd rather have 70% the player at 1/500th of the salary.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I kind of equate his value to maybe a defensive lineman that can the only thing he can do is stop the run. You know, the guys that can are versatile, that can rush the passer, and that can play the run. There's more value for those guys,
right,
just because of their versatility.
He's a nickel corner. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
he's a Landro Skandrick.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. And you know what? A friend of mine has brought this up, that he kind of has that same vibe. Because Orlando did have, I mean, he was a rough personality at the end. You know, and the era had changed. And I think that's happened to Cole. I mean, you look at how many new faces are around from the time he started out. And we're talking about a guy that almost gave up on, or did give up on the game, himself. And so, I don't know. I mean, I think it might just be time. He'll make a great slot receiver for Aaron Rodgers or something. I think it goes.
That wouldn't be a bad deal to go be a slot receiver for Aaron Rodgers, though.
And as I understand, Cole, he loves hunting. You know, he loves quiet. You know, like he really is. I mean, he loves the spotlight in other ways. I mean, he's a rapper or whatever.
Oh, that's right. I still to this day have not heard any of his material.
It's not
bad. Am I missing out on something?
I mean, it's cool. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it's cool because it's Cole Beasley. But if it wasn't Cole Beasley, it wouldn't be cool.
Well, right after the show, I'm going to have to kind of do a search on him. And is he on iTunes?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do a search.
We'll help you out. We'll get the link.
Help the old man out. Yeah, just go ahead and send the link to me right now.
Okay. So Cole Beasley, in my estimated opinion, won't be a Cowboy in 2019, but we'll see. Wide receivers, though, Tony, dominated the NFL Combine, which, as we're talking, is still technically going on. It seems like
the Combine goes on forever.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been going on for a month now.
Well, because the first like half or 60% is the interviews with the coaches, you know, the press conferences, and that's a different thing. And then the testing starts, you know what I mean? And so it is what it is. By the way, I read in Peter King's Football Morning in America that they are contemplating putting the testing events at night for primetime television.
Well, I know ESPN did that over the weekend. Was it Friday? I think they had some prime time on ABC.
They put the whole thing on ABC.
The NFL live show they actually had on ABC network. It wasn't ESPN.
Yeah, but it was still like 1 o'clock. Like they're talking about doing this at 7 o'clock. You know, prime time night. You know, television. That'd be interesting. Although, like, I guarantee you, somebody would have a take like, well, your body is in a different place at, you know, 7 p.m. than it is at 1 p.m., and that makes testing more difficult or whatever.
Well, you know, the sensationalism of it, because if you're like me and you see these guys run a 4.3 and you're like, holy crap, and then they kind of self-impose that with someone that runs like a 4.6 and, you know, they kind of isolate it where it's almost like a hologram of different, you know, I mean, that's not the best way to describe it, but so they have, I think this year they had, was it David Haskins, and they had Baker Mayfield from last year and another quarterback.
Oh, and they
quarterback.
They superimpose all the
footage. Right, right.
Yeah, those
the
are
guys,
great.
And they show the difference between, I mean, it's kind of cool to watch, but to sit there and watch a dude run like a 4.3, like a couple of guys, a couple of cats did, with a wide receiver from Ohio State, that dude was just phenomenal. I mean, and the thing about it with the wide receivers, these are full-grown men. These are 6'3", 220-pound men just running like a freight train.
DK Metcalf kind of stole the show from Ole Miss. He is 1.6% body fat. Wow. Can you even imagine what that lifestyle is like?
I don't think I had that when I was born.
I mean,
that's not the best.
I'm
not supposed to have any body fat. Well, you know, I wasn't that bad. I mean, there are some big babies that are like 15 pounds and a lot of body fat. Right. But me, I didn't. You know, that's when all your lacticity is at its best, right?
And I mean, yeah. But goodness,
this guy was shredded, man.
He is. But so here's my question. I don't think DK Metcalf ends up a Cowboy, but just in general, do you think that because he didn't have a great three cone time. And a lot of the conversation is, well, he's this super gigantic, you know, human, but can he move that way in the way that matters? And so
football.
Yeah, exactly. My question to you is, can all of, cause we saw a lot of athleticism from the receivers. Can that translate in your opinion, or does it maybe not matter as much? It's just something to gawk at in the meantime.
Well, there's nothing you can't replace speed. Right. I mean, if a guy can run that fast, I mean, hey, come on, you know, but he still is a wide receiver. It's like, how does the football, you know, what does he do that football pads? And, you know, college is certainly different than the NFL. But and those guys, again, I think you got to take in consideration. These guys have been training for the last month. All they've been doing is learning how to run a 40 faster. The standing broad jump, in which what the defensive line was, that Ed Oliver that ran from the defensive line, I think it was from some defensive line had broad jumped 11 feet, or I think he's a guy from TCU. But anyways, it just kind of gets, you see so many of these guys and you lose track of it. But so I think the biggest question is, you know, how's that going to translate? I mean, how much do you want to read into, you know, this guy, you know, testing exceptionally well in the combine? Because there's been a lot of guys that have done well in the combine, and I think the matrix and everything that's gone along with it over the past is a proven theory, obviously. But still, there's guys that, like, this stick out where you just, like, you cannot ignore what they've done at the combine.
Right.
I mean, this freakish, like, vertical jump and, you know, everything else that goes along with that. But I think the football drills itself are really, really what you got to look at. And maybe they're in evaluate their pro day where they're really into football movements and catching the ball and, you know, turning and, you know, really just kind of isolating on those type of evaluations. Because there's some guys that really, again, the theory of built like Tarzan and play like Jane. I mean, there is some of those type of dudes. But I think that's the thing you want to be – you really want to be not really overly – cautious, but you want to like realize, don't get caught up into just, you know, the guy out there in shorts running fast and catch, you know, jumping and bench pressing and everything. See what they can do as a football player.
What's your favorite drill, or what was your favorite drill to do?
I like the three cone drill, the shuttle run. I mean, that was pretty, I was pretty good at that. I mean, that was, you know, the three cone drill, the shuttle. We did the three cone where there's different type of movements. I like running the 40. I believe my best 40 time, my pro day was a 4.67, and that was on carpet.
And
that was back. Yeah. And so I think my best time was when I was a 40. I mean, there's nothing like running a 40.
Right.
But I ran like into my 4.7s, and I weighed close to 300 pounds.
Well, and you were doing it in old clothes, you know, or like normal clothes, not these skin tight, you know.
Well, they were skin tight shorts, but they were the ones that were, like the basketball shorts of the NBA.
Right.
They were pretty short shorts, but yeah, nothing like the Under Armour. And that's the thing I also like, man, I would have loved to have some of that swag.
I mean, I don't disagree with you.
I wouldn't really be too fond, or I wouldn't have been probably look forward to going to the combine. Mm-hmm. But man, some of the stuff that they get, man, nice little swag bag and stuff to work out in, and you know, that's just kind of hard to, you know, I think that's the thing about looking at these dudes and see how athletic they are and how big they are and how fast they can move and how athletic they are. I think people love to watch that.
I agree. It is interesting. I mean,
fascinating.
The receivers did kind of steal the show a bit, headlined by DK Metcalf. We were talking right before we started recording. Montez Sweat from Mississippi State just looks like a monster. But that's the same thing. I mean, you know, rushing the passer. I mean, your 48 time is great, and you know, you test great. But I mean, can you do it with pads on? Can you do it against Tyron Smith? You know what I mean? It's a different thing.
Not too many people can do that against Tyron Smith, right. But if you can't do it, you're going to be probably a future Hall of Famer, especially if you do it really good.
So it is interesting, but you mentioned that, you know, swag bags and everything happened in Indianapolis. We talked about it. Lots of talking in Indianapolis. This is, you know, a breeding ground for information. Last thing we need to get into, Tony, there have been some rumors and speculation as to a couple of things. Number one, Antonio Brown, who was on the shop with LeBron James last Friday night while LeBron's Lakers lost to the Bucks, which would not be the most embarrassing thing that would happen to them over the weekend as they lost to the Suns.
Poor LeBron.
anyway, on the shop, Antonio trashed Ben Roethlisberger. Said that he was throwing passes to the defensive line, said he had an owner mentality. I mean, just, it was not a good look for Big Ben. And then we got the sit-down interview that he had with ESPN's Jeff Darlington at what looked like, I think Antonio lives in Miami, what looked like his Miami home, looked like a palace.
What's up with that? What was up with that blonde mustache?
That's the look he wants to rock.
Okay.
Man.
I mean, sorry.
I mean, I'm with you. I wouldn't rock that, but I mean,
looks better on him than us. Right?
Yeah, Antonio.
Maybe
he's got more confidence than I do. But so he came out and said that he didn't need to play football, that he wanted to play on his terms. He's made $100 million, whatever. This guy is all over the map. But in spite of all that, there are three teams, according to Adam Schefter, that he has been tied to. Number one, the Oakland Raiders. It would be interesting if that happened, given the fact that they traded away Amari Cooper. Antonio's obviously better, but he obviously comes with some baggage. Number two, the Tennessee Titans have shown interest in Antonio Brown as well. And number three, the Washington Redskins. I don't know if you feel this way. I kind of want the Redskins to do it. That seems like a Dan Snyder thing. Like, dude, yeah, bring this volatile personality into your locker room and blow it up, because I feel like that's what would happen.
You know, I understand Antonio Brown, and you know, by all means, much respect for someone that's, you know, made a lot of money. But isn't he in the third year of his contract? So he probably he's on that $70 million contract, and so that's why, obviously, you know, as far as trading him. And so Oakland, I mean, they have what, three first round picks this year. Washington, hey, you know, Alex Smith coming back off that injury.
Well, he won't be back till at least 2020. He might never play again.
Exactly. So that's true. So regardless, I mean, I don't know, if you're Antonio Brown, you kind of looking and you look at Oakland, and I don't know what they're, you know, I know they're tried to shop Derek Carr around. And so, you know, the thing with Antonio Brown, hey, I understand. I mean, more power to you. And I think there's a little resentment because he feels like the NFL has been a dictatorship of where you go and play. And, you know, when you sign a contract, isn't there an obligation for you to play out that, you know, the contract there? And look, I think, aren't we, every place we go, RJ, there's going to be an employer or an employee or someone that we don't like, that we don't get along with. And if we're, you know, that's just life, you know. And I think he feels like it's pretty easy. You said volatile. I think he's more vulnerable because there's not much he can do. I mean, he can say demand, make all these demands, but, you know, lashing out at Ben Roethlisberger. And look, I don't know what the relationship and Mike Tomlin, and, you know, I'm just looking at it in the outside in as someone that's not there. And it seems like that those dudes wouldn't be that bad to work for. But I think it's just the frustration. I think the frustration of him is that he wants to create this drama and he doesn't want to play. So, you know, look, if I'm Pittsburgh, if I'm everyone else, and that's the thing, but look at Le'Veon Bell, the whole situation with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. I think part of me asks is, well, what the hell's going on there? I mean, is there something, you know, if there was smoke, is there a little fire? Because you got two of their best players. You got Le'Veon Bell that set out the whole year.
Right.
He lost how much money from 1 year and didn't even. And so what's that say about him, or maybe, you know, the environment that's going on there? But, you know, part of me wants to be critical, but then I understand, and I have props for the guy and every respect for him because he's made money and said, look, you know, I don't have to play. So I guess we will see.
He's got some interesting thoughts. I don't think that's unfair to say.
Yeah,
I mean, it's definitely fair. I think that there is drama. I mean, wherever he goes, it's going to be a difficult situation just because of the facts of everything. So, I mean, with all that being said, because, you know, they are a division rival of the Cowboys, if he's traded to the Redskins, as talented as he is, how nervous are you?
I'm not nervous because I don't think, for one, Ben Roethlisberger is, to me, I just think he is a really good quarterback and probably doesn't get the, I guess, not respect, but just where he, you know, the ranking and what he means and what he's done in his NFL career. I think Ben Roethlisberger is a tremendous quarterback.
Yeah, he doesn't get talked about like Aaron Rodgers, for example.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's won what? He's got a ring. I mean,
he's got two
rings, and we forget about that. But here's the thing about it. You know, personally, when you start attacking guys, and we know that he has, I mean, didn't he say something about him? What he, you know, when he, well, Ben went through his tough times.
Yeah. Assault, oh, yeah. Antonio called him out and liked some tweets and stuff. Yeah.
Who does that? You know,
that's
personable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Put him on the Redskins, you know, like put him in there.
Your point to go to the Redskins, I don't think – what do you think, he's going to flourish as a receiver there? For one, you don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I mean, are they going to you know, last time I checked, it was
Colt McCoy,
and then he got injured, and then did they bring Mark Sanchez in, or was that
they
with
did.
Another?
they did.
So things are pretty bad. All right, so yeah, Antonio Brown, you want to go? Alex Smith is not going to come back to 2020. You don't know who your quarterback's going to be, Colt McCoy. So are you in a better? My point is, if it's not, has nothing to do with getting paid, don't you want to go to a team where you can really, really do well and at least have a legitimate rest of your career?
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I mean, that's why, you know, I on my Saturday morning show, I was making a point, like the same way Kyrie Irving is kind of upset with his situation in Boston. It's like, dude, what more could you want? Like, you have all this talent around you, these young players. You're really young. You have a really young, awesome head coach. You know, you play for a cornerstone franchise, the Celtics and Steelers, obviously. And both of them are in these rabid sports towns in America. I mean, like, you know, how could you be dissatisfied with that?
But, did you see the game, by the way? The Rockets game?
I saw it.
Harden dropped, like, 41, but no defense.
No.
Plus, I mean, in the lane, I mean, he just, like, ran right to the rim for a layup.
And he traveled on that three. Nobody can convince me otherwise. But, the important thing is my Spurs are back. They beat the Thunder.
Yeah.
They're riding a two-game win streak.
Oh, that's a huge win there now.
So, you know, same kind of thing. Like, how could you be dissatisfied? And so Larry Fitzgerald had a comment over the weekend where he said that, you know, the equivalent of what he said was, be careful what you wish for. You know, mm-hmm. you don't know how well you've got it. And that's the thing, to your point, dude, Antonio, right now you've got an awesome quarterback. You've got an awesome receiver opposite of you to draw away attention. You've got an awesome head coach to a degree. You've got an awesome fan base and, you know, NFL community and sports community, whatever. Do you think you're going to like Washington? Like you think you're going to like the Redskins? But, I mean, it does kind of feel like a Redskins thing. You mentioned they don't have a quarterback. That's the other issue. And we really don't ever talk about the Redskins because they suck. I mean, to be blunt,
yeah.
The Eagles are always a threat and the Giants get a little cute. But the Redskins have been connected not only to Antonio Brown, but to Josh Rosen because your boy, Kyler Murray, speculation continues to grow and grow and grow that he will go number one overall to the Arizona Cardinals, which would mean that Josh Rosen would get shipped out. I mentioned Peter King's Football Morning in America. He mentioned in there that people think that Josh Rosen could go for a third round pick. That feels low. Just because he, you know, was a second-year guy.
Yeah, drafted in the first round. Yeah.
But maybe let's just call it a third-round pick for the sake of discussion. There are reports that people believe Antonio will go for a first. So you're saying let's just assume for a second that the Redskins traded their third-round draft pick for Josh Rosen and their first-round draft pick for Antonio Brown. I mean, would that team at all give you pause?
Well, you know, Josh Rosen is still really kind of unproven, right? I mean, and I don't know the whole deal with the situation in Arizona. I mean, I think that really didn't work out. They got a new coach, new philosophy. You know, Cliff Kingsbury has already said that, you know, last year, and he had no idea he was going to be the head coach at Arizona, would draft Kyler Murray with the number one pick. So, you know, obviously Josh Rosen is not going to fit into that type of offense, right?
Right.
So then you look at Jay Gruden, his type of offense, and at Washington, and you kind of look at, you know, Josh. I mean, a third-round draft pick is not nothing for maybe a potentially quarterback that goes in a different organization, different system. And we've seen it happen before, and all of a sudden, just, okay, catch lightning in a bottle, and you're like, right. Wow, that's a great, great decision to bring him in. And then if you can get Antonio Brown to really try to help the process – but they still have Alex Smith, and again, he's not coming back till 2020, and he may not ever be able to come back at the level he played before he got injured, because that was a gruesome injury.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you're right. I think it should be said, whoever does get Josh Rosen, if he gets traded, I mean, if you pay a third-round draft pick for a quarterback on year two of his rookie contract that has a lot of promise, it's a pretty good deal. But
yep.
I don't know that I would be that nervous about that. I mean, you know.
No, I wouldn't. To me, that doesn't. I mean, I'm more worried about the Eagles.
Right. I hate to give them credit, but you're right, unfortunately.
Right now at this juncture.
I'll end with this. I was talking about this on Sunday. Who has the best quarterback situation in the NFC East?
Well, that's a great question.
I thought
the Eagles, you could have said them, but it looks like Nick Foles is going to Jacksonville, right?
Right. So, and don't get me wrong, and I know that people might laugh at this because there are a lot of Dak haters, but so you automatically eliminate, even if they get Josh Rosen, the Redskins, mm-hmm. because those two are competing for the worst spot. So the competition is between Dak and Carson Wentz. Because, as you mentioned, Nick Foles is speculated to be going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Carson is, I mean, to some degree, injury prone. He had a magnificent 2017 season before the injury. We all know that, but he was subpar in 2018. He was subpar his rookie year in 2016. There's also the speculation that he's kind of a locker room diva, that he had his issues and he didn't want to run Nick Foles plays and all that. And maybe that.
I'm surprised about that. Isn't it amazing how these rumors get started? And you know, and that's the thing about it. You don't know some guys. You don't know. They may be the biggest a-holes in the locker room.
Right.
But you know, they put on that great, you know, that face, the media and fans. But then behind the curtain, like, they may be the biggest jerk to be around.
That's true. I mean, and you know what? You could be a jerk.
I understand. Yeah.
If you're a jerk and you win, Aaron Rodgers is a jerk. That's fine. You know what I mean? But so.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a cool dude. I don't see him being a diva. It seems to me he's kind of a man's man.
It's easier though to accept the loss to them if I just tell myself he's a jerk. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so. He's a big jerk.
There we go.
So to your point, I think maybe the question that we're probably asking each other and asking me is who's got the best quarterback situation right now in the NFC East?
Who would you
say? I guess I could say Dak, you know, the Cowboys do. Consider if you see the quarterbacks, again, as you mentioned, Carson Wentz has been a problem, can't stay on the field. And then Eli Manning, you know, he's twilight of his career. And then look at the whole deal with the situation the Redskins last year. So right now, which quarterback would you want on your team right now? I'd have to say, and I know this is blogging the boys and this is all, you know, Cowboy content, but, you know, we're objective and we give our opinion and when it's due and whenever we need to, scrutinize someone and say something and be more objective, we do. But I would say right now, if you look at all the things that are involved in making a decision, who's the best quarterback, I'd have to say Dak Prescott and the Cowboys.
I think I agree. It just, you know, it sounds so funky when you say it. People will laugh. People will roll their eyes. Carson has the potential to be very good.
But you know what? I ran into Mickey Spagnuolo today. He's a great – and he's been doing Cowboy media and Cowboy content, DallasCowboys.com. I was talking today, and he always reminds me. He goes, the Cowboys won the last 7 out of their 8 games, right?
Right.
So – they had a pretty good run, but they had Amari Cooper. So that, you know, you got to factor in that also.
Well, I agree with you, because people love to say, like, and people said their rookie year, like, well, Dak has Zeke and Dak has the offensive line. That's cool. I mean, that's fine. I mean, he gets to have them.
Well, you know? So here's the thing about it. You know, when you say that so much.
Yeah.
But doesn't other teams have the same thing?
Yeah. Well, but like when, because people love to say, like, well, would Dak be better than Carson without Zeke? Why do we have to ask that question? Because when is he going to play without Zeke? You know what I mean? Like, that's – I don't understand, like, well, if you put them on this on a different team, you know, who would be better? When would that ever happen?
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing with Dak. If you put Dak on the Philadelphia Eagles and Jay Ajayi, he was injured this year. He's a good running back. Mm-hmm. And some of the playmakers they have, I mean, would he be able to put up numbers? So I think it's a really good hypothetical question we ask each other. And look, I'm not saying that Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in the National Football League, but I am saying when you look at his record and what he's done, he's probably the best quarterback in the NFC East today.
I think that's somewhat fair. I think there's room for discussion, but overall I agree with you. And my last point on that is the state of the NFC East when it comes to the quarterback position overall, all four teams, might be the worst in the NFL. To some degree, because you have Eli and a question mark in Washington. I mean, you're talking 50% of the division has, you know, bad quarterback play. That's a lot. And so if you don't, I mean, this is a window. That's a window that you've been given. You know what I mean? Because you know, for example, I would hate to be, or if we were talking about, if this was blogging the Buccaneers, you know, life would suck because you would be dealing with Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton all the time. And that would be a very rough,
yeah, that's a tough rough path. Quarterback league, yeah, right. Conference.
And so, you know, you have this, you know, easier, for lack of a better word, path. It will be a shame if they don't ultimately cash in at some point.
Well, here's the thing also, just thinking about this, and if Nick Foles is gone and he goes to Jacksonville, but you can make a case for what he's done over the last 2 years. Hell, he may have been the best quarterback in NFC East based on what he did. Now, he didn't play the whole year, but his value to his team. And maybe that's just kind of, you know, I'm looking for things to make a comparison between who's the more efficient quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I guess based on what he's did, but, you know, he had quite a bit of success, and we saw what he did as a starter. It didn't work that way when he was traded, or I think it was, he's traded. But, you know, now I think if you look at it today, and when, you know, that's what we do, we look at compare quarterbacks. I mean, going into the season with Eli Manning, with everything that's happened there, and then not the uncertainty with the Redskins and then the Eagles, you know, Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is going to be okay. But he needs to put one full season under his belt.
I agree. Just as we're getting out of here, Ian Rappaport tweeting that the Steelers have enough interest to be able to trade Antonio Brown before March 17th. A lot of people think it could happen this week. Ian listed three teams. One of them was the Raiders, which mm-hmm. we discussed. The other two, the Denver Broncos. Emmanuel Sanders plays for the Broncos, and you'll remember that they had a public spat between one another when Emmanuel was doing
Super I didn't even Bowl think coverage. About Denver. You know, with Joe Flacco there now.
Right. And John Elway might feel like he's in a really tight window. The other team, and this would be fascinating if the number one overall pick goes the way we think, the Arizona Cardinals. So you get Kyler Murray, Larry Fitzgerald, and Antonio Brown. And Larry Fitzgerald just called that Antonio, so that'd be really weird.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll be back later in the week to unpack it all, as we always.
Absolutely.
So thanks for listening, everybody. Again, if you get a chance, please go rate and review the Blog of the Boys podcast feed on iTunes. 5-star ratings are always appreciated.
Five-star.
Leave a review. Say you love us, and we would greatly appreciate it. This was the 750.